All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We will be continuing this evening with really the ultimate in time management. Who would have thought that last night, in 20 minutes, you would learn everything you need to know about marriage? And in a brief 20 minutes tonight, you will learn everything you need to know about preparing for marriage. It's miraculous what has happened here in these 20 minutes. I'm also selling some snake oil on the back table there for a real good price if you believed that. So, preparing for marriage, T-minus 20 minutes and counting. When does preparing for marriage start? Well, I mean, it's all of our life. It really starts as soon as we can are aware of what's going on. It's a long process, and there's a lot that goes into it. That needs to go into it. The world, marriage is absolutely flippant today, and God's not that way with marriage. Marriage is, this sounds trite, marriage is a divine institution. So then to rephrase that in a way that we might understand more hard-hitting or clear for us today, marriage is God's idea. And so I believe it follows that since marriage originated with God, that He is our information source for reliable direction on life's path that leads to a godly marriage. Amen. So we have to decide whose playbook we will follow in preparation for marriage. So preparation for marriage. In our time here this evening, I hope to gain biblical insight in five areas. Number one, to understand the idea of waiting. Number two, to understand the idea of love. Number three, commitment. Number four, responsibility. And number five, warning signs. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for our conference and, Lord, for the help that it has been. I trust, God, as we seek to infuse these eternal truths from You into the practical areas, the day-to-day lives of our families, that we could see the fruit that comes from living lives of faith, trusting and obeying Your word and following it, even if it means we swim upstream, even if it means we look different. Help us, Lord, to care more about Your view and Your thoughts and Your perspective and Your smile than on what we get from those around us and certainly from the world around us. We ask, God, that You would guide here into all that's done this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, understanding waiting. The Bible says to wait on the Lord. That word waiting is important with regard to marriage because if we're not first committed to wait on God's person for marriage, then we're going to be off track from the very start. Waiting on the Lord is waiting on, among other things, whatever God has for us. That includes a potential mate. We wait until God clearly brings that person into our life. If we short circuit the idea of waiting, everything is off track. All of a sudden, we're forcing our will against His will because we believe that our will is superior. And Abraham did that. He had God's promise for an heir, but he decided he would not wait. He had a better plan, a better plan was suggested to him. We have to be careful in preparing for marriage about other people's suggestions. They may or may not be God's plan for us. And so Abraham, on bad advice, got ahead of God's plan. He didn't wait, and tremendous problems to to say the least, resulted from not waiting. The king Saul wasn't willing to wait for God's man Samuel to come to perform the sacrifice. And King Saul paid a stiff price for not waiting for God's man to show up and do what God had ordained for Samuel to do. And he was rebuked as a result of that, and he suffered tremendous loss because he did not wait when God said to wait. He did not wait for God's way. He did his own way. It's very easy. It's very tempting to do our own thing or to choose our own way or to make our own plan or to pick that person apart from God's peace that will come into our life through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through the godly authority and counselors that are around us. We must commit to the truth and the Bible admonition to wait on the Lord. Waiting enthrones God in our life. It is a practical proof that we are living lives of faith. It's demonstrated faith. Waiting is demonstrating faith. It's noticed by God and it pleases God when we wait. The word wait does not mean inactivity. Think of the word waiter, which if you go to a restaurant and get a good one, they're not going to ask you, do you want any more to drink? Because it's going to be a real drag if I have to take your glass back there and fill it up. That's a real pain. No, a good waiter is going to notice what needs to be done and they're going to take initiative. They're going to be proactive to make your table the best possible dining experience that you can have. You've probably had good waiters, good waitresses, and you've probably had the other kind as well, where after 2 hours you're wondering if you're going to get your food, and then after you drink your one drink, you're wondering if they went home and clocked out. Is there anybody back there still? They're a poor waiter. Why? Because they're not attentive. They're not taking initiative. Waiting on the Lord does not mean doing nothing. It means being active in his service. It means being proactive. It means taking initiative in the work of the Lord and in our lives. So waiting is important. We wait on the Lord and we serve as we wait. While waiting, we should demonstrate understanding of some Bible, I call these Bible basics. So if you're here and you're waiting or you're preparing for marriage, follow these Bible basics. Number one, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure in your heart, in your activities, and in your appearance. Keep yourself pure. Number two, flee youthful lusts. These are just simple Bible statements, God statements that are applicable to all of us, but in particular to those that are preparing for marriage. Number three, remember the Bible says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. Remember that Bible basic. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. As you're waiting and preparing for marriage, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Number five, keep yourself thoroughly accountable. That is very important. Understanding waiting. Number two, understanding love. We're at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. There is next to none of the world's definition of love in those verses that we just read. So we need to understand love from the Bible, or true love. I'm true to God's word, God who is truth. Understanding love from the scriptures. Now, we can take that and divide that up as a little Bible study. And we would find that there are six things listed in those verses that charity or love does. There are seven things in that list that charity does not do. There is one thing in that list that charity is. The Bible says that it's kind. And there are two things that charity is not. It's not puffed up. It's not easily provoked. So I encourage you to take the time to lay out those 16 or 17 statements and get a dictionary and get the Bible and get a pen and write out God's definition of what love is and is not, what it does and what it does not do. That is you learning God's view and God's teaching on love. Number three, understanding commitment. Marriage begins generally with a ceremony at a church that may include such enjoyable things as white sheet cake and punch made of Hawaiian punch, ginger ale, and sherbet. The only time we ever drink that, but we do drink it at every wedding, and we always say, man, this is good. But we never drink it again until the next wedding, because it's just weird to make that concoction at home in that big bowl and that funny curved-handled ladle. There is expensive photographs. There's the wedding dresses. Tucked into all this pageantry, though, lies the crux of a Christian wedding, which is the vows. Vows, promises, commitment, understanding commitment. I'll leave this point with this suggestion for you that are either preparing for marriage or want a fun exercise to do as a married couple. A couple months ago, we had a time where we just taught the newly marrieds up through 15, been married for 15 years. And we put together a very simple sheet that was a word-by-word listing of the traditional marriage vows. And beside each of these words, we wrote down what that meant, even looking those words up. And these words are given as vows, but sometimes we don't think about what we're promising. And this little exercise took a little while, was very helpful. And I would say this, if you're preparing for marriage, you are preparing to make vows. And you need to prepare by understanding what those vows mean. Because at some point, those vows will challenge you. You're going to have to make a decision about those vows. Yes, but the vows, but the commitment, but the promise. And so understanding commitment, I believe it's living a life of commitment goes toward you being the type of person that can keep your promises, that can keep your vows, none of which is more important than the wedding vows. Number four, understanding responsibility. Responsibility is a nice word, but it's nothing unless it is demonstrated. It's nothing unless it's put into play. Areas to demonstrate responsibility. Having a social media, internet, laptop, phone, whatever, electronic device, manifesto in your life right now. What is your statement? What is your place? What is your purpose? What are the What are the promises, commitments that you make regarding that very critical area in your life? I don't know. Just whatever happens, happens. There's going to be a problem. Okay. Demonstrate responsibility by getting with some older, wiser people and come up with a commitment to this is my, right? Not the Communist Manifesto. This is my personal statement, commitment. This is what I'm going to allow and not allow. And here's who's going to know about it. And I'm committing to this. Financial standing, your thoughts, your understanding of debt and credit and finances. Number three, being a provider for the guys of housing and employment for your soon-to-be home, soon-to-be family. I'll say a young lady looking for a husband is not or should not be looking to add a slothful, sluggish 13-year-old boy tucked into a 25-year-old man's body. How do we keep from that happening? It's developing responsibility. It's accepting responsibility, and that what that means is this. When I did something and it didn't go right, I own up to it. Accepting responsibility. Preparing for marriage, focus on becoming a responsible person now. How? Time with God, now. Inner attitude, now. Being reliable, now. Willing to swim upstream, now. Handling money, attitude toward the local church, now. Number five, understanding some warning signs. Sometimes you're preparing for marriage and maybe it looks like there might be that person. But Proverbs gives us lots of information about human nature, and a lot of that are helpful warning signs for us. Shameless plug. Our family has been blessed this year. We decided to read through the Proverbs with Dr. Sorensen's book, The Proverbs. So we're not just reading maybe through a whole chapter, but we're reading a few verses with some helpful thoughts about each verse. And I like the title of this book. Let me encourage those preparing for marriage with this godly advice for young adults. And boy, Proverbs is. It provides for us helpful warning signs about the types of people that are in and around us. Some warning signs, and then we'll close. Beware of a desperation to get married as opposed to a calm waiting on the ways of the Lord. We touched on this earlier, but I want to reiterate that. Just trust the Lord. There's no better place to put your trust. Number two, watch out for those with an entitlement mindset. Number three, red warning flag. Watch out for someone who has refused accountability. Number four, be aware of someone that is unable to receive correction. Proverbs is replete with that warning and the ramifications that come from it. Number five, angry guys may garner attention, but they don't make for good husbands. That's a dangerous character trait that is also warned against in Proverbs, as is unthankfulness. And number seven, friends. I'll close with this, the statement that we all know. You are now, or you soon shall be, who your friends are. And I would add to that, because it's 2021, that could include real life friends, virtual friends too. Just lot to think about. Hopefully this is a little start to preparing for marriage. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity to gather into your house. I pray that you would bless the songs and the preaching to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.